Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Diarrhea!
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on! Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
To quote Daniel Stern from Rookie of the Year, oh, boy.
I keep thinking of Charlie Brown. Ah!
That's a way to start out the show,
yeah,
right there.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Good morning. Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis are in with you at this beautiful, what is it, Tuesday?
Beautiful? Yeah. I'm not feeling like beautiful is the right adjective for right now.
No. Sad. Heartbreaking.
Upset.
Surprising. I didn't expect to come in here this morning, say at around 9 o'clock last night. I didn't expect to come in here talking about a loss, but that's eventually what we're going to do. We have a lot to get into today. We are not going to overreact right now. Right now, we're just going to try and get to the bottom of what actually happened last night. We'll also get to the Cousins injury, what that's going to do for the team going forward, how they're going to approach the rest of the playoffs. But let's just read some text from the Chilton Auto Body text line from last night. This may be a little lazy, but there's some really good texts already. And by the way, you can feel free to join the show at the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. Feel free to call in at 888-957-9570 as well.
It's like a therapy session. Might need it today.
We're already getting texts in already from the 510. Either KD is the biggest mental bleep in sports history, or Patrick Beverley is shutting him down. There's no way he should be taking 8 shots on the game. Pathetic. 8 shots, 9 turnovers, Anna.
Complete shock. I would think that, honestly, after game one with getting ejected from the game, that he would come out ready to go after Beverley, because he was kind of making light of the whole thing, almost like saying, you know, we know each other from back in the day. We know how each other how we work with each other.
And, played college against each other when he was at Arkansas.
Right. Yeah. So you would think after this that would kind of just light a fire with him, but no.
I think this is a classic case of Kevin Durant being the scapegoat like he's been all season. The fact is the team played poorly. The entire team
100%
going into the second half, they didn't deserve to win it. It was a culmination of things. It wasn't just the Kevin Durant turnovers. There was a whole myriad.
22 in the game, by the way. So even if it's only KD turnovers, you can't blame it on him. The entire team had issues last night.
And it was all in the second half. They barely had any turnovers in the first half. It was just a myriad of things that went wrong for them. And from the 510, Clippers in 5. Wow. All right.
I'm not there yet. Come on now, people.
I don't think we're there yet.
No.
But what would you say, what was your initial reaction at first when you were going into last night's game, as you were watching it at halftime, after halftime, what were your thoughts? Did you think about even turning the game off?
So last night, I honestly, in the beginning, I thought that the Clippers looked frustrated early.
They did.
That the Warriors were on a roll. Everything was going great. Steph Curry was hot. It was a good game. And I went at one point to put my kid to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. When the Warriors, I think, right in like early on in the third quarter, they had the lead. And I was thinking, okay, let me go put him to sleep. I'm good. I could chill and then come back. Be fine.
Yeah.
As soon as I get back out, so I'm like, what the heck just happened?
Right.
And, you know, watching back everything, and I was just completely shocked, and I think it's completely unacceptable what went on at Oracle last night.
In case you haven't heard, the Warriors ended up losing to the Clippers 135-131, blowing a 31-point lead.
A 31-point lead to an 8 seed on their home court.
Yeah.
Just process that.
With two bench players dominating the game the entire time.
Exactly.
From the 956, the biggest issue with the Boogie loss is it's going to tax the bench and the rotation will be funky. Warriors play bad with changes to the lineup. We'll get into DeMarcus Cousins a little bit and the rotations and all of that. It's just regardless of whatever happens going forward, it really sucks for him especially. From 707, wow, I mean, texts are just pouring in.
They're just
in.
Flying.
No excuses, but the refs killed the flow of the game. Careless passes.
Yeah.
Definitely careless passes. I was at the game last night, and the refs were making every little ticky-tack foul call imaginable, and they did ruin the flow of the game. There was no tempo to it at all on both sides. The Clippers and the Warriors were both getting to the line constantly, and it was getting really frustrating for those of us watching second row from the Oracle Arena's crust, as I like to call it, the outer edge.
The outer edge.
I was in the nosebleeds. I was in the nosebleeds with my people, and the energy got sucked out of this place, but not in an instant. It was like little by little increments of energy were just going away. You could see the fans just oozing confidence.
They were chipping away at Dub Nation's soul.
They really were. Yeah. And going into the third quarter, you're sitting there. We were. Whew, I mean, a lot of people were even discussing, hey, what are we going to do after the game? Are we going to go to In-N-Out? Are we going to go get food? Can we leave early? And then you're watching it slowly but surely, and then the lead gets down to like 20, and then it gets down to 18, then 14, then 12.
Get uncomfortable.
Then in the fourth quarter, what? This team took the lead? Like, that was the most memorable game that I've ever been to, 100%.
On a bad memory. That's one of those memories that just, it gets to you, and it gets you, and it's one of those things that just kind of stick with you, and you're sitting there thinking, how did this happen? You try to figure it out, and you can't quite figure it out. Obviously, a big issue was Steph Curry got into foul trouble early in the third quarter. That completely messed up a lot of the rotations. Mm-hmm. It threw him off as well, because he was so hot coming in the first half, and then going into the second half, he cooled down. And we saw that later. He made some great shots, but then at the end, when it came to a really crucial shot, he rushed some shots and it didn't work out in the end. And I think honestly, what's sad about this too is now looking forward, they get past the Clippers. Going forward, if a team, if the Warriors take a substantial lead on another team down the road, in the back of the other team's mind, they're going to start thinking, we can come back. We can still come back. You still have that confidence.
Where are you at right now with the team's chemistry? Because like you said, Steph did end up getting in foul trouble early and had to leave with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, and he didn't get any shots up, obviously, from there. And you saw Draymond get taken out, too, and toward the end of the game, and he was kind of staring at Kerr down the bench. Is this just going to be one in terms of team chemistry, which they just get over and move on to the next one, do you think? Or is this going to linger over into this series?
I think they're going to come out a little angry when they go to L.A. And so when they go to L.A., it could be the point where you say, watch out, Clippers, because they're not messing around and they just might move forward and just crush them in the next game. But they have to mentally be there right now.
Would you say that this season is like how do we classify this season? Because I feel like it's been, they got to play with joy, they got to play with anger, and they haven't been able to really find a mix in the two. They haven't been able to play with either of them.
They've created bad habits all season long. And this is what happens when you create bad habits. It comes back to bite you later. And this is why when you're saying you've got to shut it out, you've got to be done with it early, you've got to have, you know, make good habits throughout the season. This is what happens. And it leads to games like this.
What's your opinion on, like, choking? Like, using that term? Because as far as I know, if you're going to use it, last night was a time to use that term.
100%. I actually was going to come in and say, it's time to use the C word, choke.
Right.
So that's how I felt going into it. It's like, you do not blow a historic lead like that as the back-to-back champions against the 8-seed Clippers, who had traded Tobias Harris, who was the talk of, okay, where are they going to be in the draft lottery, who happened to be hot at the end. That is a choke job last night.
How do you give up 36 points to Lou Williams? That guy, as far as all the Warriors' flaws last night, I'm watching that dude in the fourth quarter, and he is just taking advantage of this team. And that's one of the – I find that if I'm going to, like, put percentages on it, I'd put the highest percentage on Lou Williams having the game of his life because that dude was doing whatever he wanted. Klay couldn't play any defense on him in the second half. In the first half, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
Everything was rolling. The rotations were smooth. They were getting in and out of transition. They were doing it perfect. And then in the second half, they just seemed to donk it off.
Yeah. And Lou Williams was the reason why the Clippers won last night. He is the biggest reason. 15 fourth quarter points. He was on. And just the Clippers are pesky. They're a pesky team. And they really gnaw at you. And I think that they got underneath the Warriors' skin. And I'm still really dumbfounded how frustrating this is. It's really frustrating to see how this team, they should have gone out there. They should have dominated. But they didn't. Because they did not take care of the ball, and they were completely careless.
The number one aggravator, of course, is one Patrick Beverley. Mm-hmm. Where are you at with him? That is what makes me kind of nervous going forward, is just the fact that they knew this was coming. Since game one, everyone knew this was coming. Since they played the Rockets in 2016, they knew this sort of thing was coming from Patrick Beverley, and somehow they can't find a way to stop it. In the first half, Kevin Durant, he was, you know... After the game, being in the actual arena, you couldn't tell really how KD was feeling by his facial expressions. You couldn't see how kind of Patrick Beverley was affecting him.
Right.
It looked like he really didn't at first. KD was going one-on-one with Beverley, who's like 2 feet shorter than him. And he was passing the ball, and he was getting assists, and it was fine. But in the second half, it all seemed to fall apart. And that's just what makes me nervous, is that this team can't figure out what to do about Patrick Beverley, even though they knew it was coming.
Patrick Beverley did his job.
Right.
It's time for the Warriors to do their job, because they should be able to easily handle him when they're on their game.
They should be.
But mentally, they're not.
And that's just what's frustrating.
Yes.
I just don't get how you are not prepared to just fight against this little Patrick Beverley guy.
He's a gnat. He just wants to smack.
Yeah. And he keeps on just, poking at him, poking the bear. Eventually he got fouled out. In terms of the fans, that was about as loud as they got. It was, the fans did all they could. They were booing Patrick Beverley any chance they got, which was great. I mean, literally any time he got the ball in his hands, whether he touched it for literally less than a second, people were just booing him majorly. So... Okay, we need to calm down. I said we wouldn't overreact in this first segment, but I overreacted already.
Okay, me too. Me too.
We will get to some post-game comments, and we'll react to that. We got Curry, and then Klay Thompson, who seems to... I don't know why I love listening to Klay Thompson, especially after losses. Because
he's insightful.
He's real. He's not going to... He doesn't try to really think about so much... trying to please the reporters so much. He's just going to say what's on his mind. And sometimes, unfortunately, this wasn't one of those times, but you'll see him reading the stats and realize, oh my God, Lou Williams got 36 points. Man.
He's real.
And you actually see his reaction to it. So we'll get some thoughts from him. And then, of course, Steph after the game. And we'll talk about the Boogie's injury, what that can mean going forward. Feel free to hit up the Chilton on Body text line, as most of you have, at 95795, or give us a call, 888-957-9570. I mean, does this make you worried about this team, or are you just going to sweep this under the rug? This is the biggest playoff loss or in playoff comeback, rather, in history. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you nervous about it? 888-957-9570, or do you still have faith in this team? Like, in the end, I actually do. Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis here on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
All right, good. I actually hit the right button here. The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with their product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. 33-25 Warriors. 40-25 Warriors. 44-35 Clippers. 41 23 Clippers. That is your quarterly breakdown from the Warriors' loss, 135-131. Feel free to hit up the Chilton on Body text line at 95795 or hit up the phone line at 888-957-9570.
It was mind-numbing, by the way, last night at the end there.
It is a little bit. It is a little bit. It makes you think.
Yeah.
It makes you evaluate your life. Not really.
Maybe not my own life.
I think
but
that's overreacting.
That's a little overreaction. Makes me...
What, you start to really evaluate your own life after that? And that's overreacting? I don't know.
Just a little bit. I am wondering about this. Warriors team, though, come on, guys, get it together.
From the 650 on the Chill Now Body text line, we need to overreact. You have a lead of 94-63. Can you blow it? I guess that's bad grammar. But
well, look, the final 19 and a half minutes, the Clippers scored 72 points. Warriors, just 37.
So
lopsided there.
What would you consider right now an overreaction? Would you say if someone's saying, hey, Dubs are losing team chemistry and it's falling apart inside the locker room, is that an overreaction? Is them already saying, I think them already saying series is over.
That's a major overreaction.
I think that's probably about as overreactory, is that even a word, as you can get. I'm just confused. I really don't know. What is an overreaction?
I think the chemistry, there is something there with the chemistry issues. I won't say that the locker room is fractured, though, but I think you do see some issues. When you see, like, Jordan Bell, when he went out there and 2 minutes into him playing, you have Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green yelling at him for basically being really kind of lazy going after a rebound. And I know that they had a big lead at that point, but that's kind of the mental state that where the Warriors were, if they lose a lead, it's because of the fact that they aren't playing as hard as they should at certain points as well. That's where I think of some of the issue is, where you have guys yelling at each, kind of getting mad at each other, Steve Kerr making certain decisions, Draymond Green staring him down. There's some issues.
And I think that it's just what we talked about at the beginning of the show is that it's not just a singular thing. It's literally a culmination of problems, while also the Clippers storming back and actually making this a good game. We really got to make sure to give Lou Williams credit, because he had a monster fourth quarter where he was just taking advantage, just doing whatever he wants, driving to the lane, taking mid-range jumpers. When he goes to his left, he's deadly when he takes a shot after going to his left, which they let him do a lot. Clay didn't play tough defense on him. Mm-hmm. Overall, I mean, that's probably, to me, now that I'm thinking about it, that's the biggest thing for me is just defense in the second half.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, after Lou Williams scoring, just the problem with the defense. And then got to give credit to Montrezl Harrell, too. The dude's been dominating the Warriors in the paint all year. So we got to give credit to the Clippers where credit is due. But at the same time, the defense was so lackluster.
Well, Harrell and Williams, don't forget that this Clippers team is actually, that's their strength is their bench. And it's because of those two, they are the driving force behind the bench.
It's weird.
And you know, everybody was saying, oh, you know, should we put them in the starting lineup? Should the Clippers put them in the starting lineup to go up against the Warriors? But obviously, it worked out for them to work what worked best for them.
All right. Well, let's listen to Steve Kerr talk about what happened after the game.
Our defense was great for 2.5 quarters, and then we stopped defending. When I say we stopped playing, we stopped playing. Like, you know, defense, offense, execution-wise, we were not as engaged as we needed to be. And we got exactly what we deserved. Clippers were great. They executed. They were hungry. They stayed connected. They were together. To win in this league, especially in the playoffs, you got to have all five guys competing and playing and staying with a game plan and getting after it. There's only one agenda in the playoffs, and that's win the game.
Now, Stephen Curry also talked after the game, and he thinks it's just one game.
No, it's just one game. I know the circumstances were tough with that big of a lead at home, but it's the same mindset when you lose a game. It's 1-1, got to go down to L.A., take two, you know, starting on Thursday and keep moving. So I think that's something about our team that we've been able to prove and demonstrate on time after time. And our resiliency has to be there. So It is tough. It's going to sting a little bit, just, you know, understanding how precious every game is in the playoff series, for sure.
I kind of wish Steph was a little more mad after the game for that.
You mean like how KD and Draymond left without even talking to the media?
They bolted out of the locker room. But just him saying it's just one – sure, it is just one game, but to blow the biggest playoff lead in history at home – when you're supposed to be the perennial favorites to win the championship. That's what makes it more than just one game.
And that's why, in all honesty, I couldn't say that the Warriors would sweep the Clippers, that they wouldn't go through and sweep the whole playoffs like people were saying. You couldn't do that because everything that I've seen this season and how it's been up and down all season, they have not been consistent. They haven't been able to finish a lot of games this season, and they lost to a lot of bad teams this year. They lost to bad teams. When you lose by a huge margin to the Suns, to the Mavericks, in an embarrassing style, it's only to come back and bite you later.
What is it with this Clippers team? Why do they keep on giving the Warriors fits more than any other squad? This was the team that ended up beating them in overtime after Draymond and KD went at it on the bench. Mm-hmm. It just seems that this team, we kind of called it a rivalry back when it was Lob City and they had Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. But now, I mean, it seems like they're taking this way more serious than the Warriors right now. And that's kind of what worries, I think, a lot of people.
Well, Steve Kerr said something in the clip you played earlier. He said they were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
The Clippers were hungry. Warriors did not look hungry in that second half.
No, they just like us, the fans in that arena, they ended up getting complacent. And that's the number one thing with this team is complacency and turnovers. And they gave up a ton in the second half, and they also got complacent. And when you mix the two together, you end up letting Lou Williams score, doing whatever he wants, at the same time letting Harrell take control of the low post. Whew, I mean, it's funny how just little by little in that arena, they were just slowly but surely realizing, uh-oh, something's wrong. Because when you're watching this game from the outside, not from the TV, you can't tell what these players' reactions are on the bench. You can't see what their faces are like. You can't tell their body language. You can see their body language sort of from afar, but you can't really understand how they're feeling as opposed to when you're watching on the TV. So I don't think they realized that this team was starting to lose energy in the third quarter. I don't think they saw it draining until about later in the fourth quarter when they were within a 10-point deficit.
It was a domino effect that really came down to it last night.
So
that's this team, you know, they were starting off good, they were well, they were rolling, and then you're right, they just kind of sucked the air out of them and sucked the energy out of them, and they just couldn't dig their way out of the hole.
Is this the type of game that makes you nervous for the future series? Like, going against the Rockets, Lou Williams is the number one scorer for this team. What about going for a possible MVP candidate in James Harden?
I can see that. I think that for some reason, I don't know what it is. I think the Warriors tend to show up a little bit more when it comes to against Harden. But it does give you a little bit of concern that I think that this only gives other teams more confidence when they think about facing the Warriors.
And let's listen to Klay Thompson after the game. He wasn't too happy.
We let our guard down. We weren't the aggressors anymore. We didn't deserve to win that game. Basketball gods didn't reward us. I mean, I had a wide open look at the top of the key. In and out happens. We'll bounce back. I'll bounce back. The whole team will. We'll right the ship.
And those are two little things, actually. That shot at the end, those are two minor, tiny details in that game that culminated into the loss. That miss from a wide open look from Klay at the end, as well as Jerebko. Jerebko was in there for 4 minutes, and the one open look he had, he did not knock it down when they needed him to.
You know who actually had a good night was Kevon Looney. He had 19 points. He was 6-for-6 on the floor. And I love Andrew Bogut. You know how much I love Andrew Bogut. But Kevon was doing so well and he was rolling. Why didn't they play him more in the fourth? They really went heavy on Bogut. So my question is, why did they? I know that they wanted more of the Bogut defense, but Kevon Looney was on.
Yeah, you know, he was making shots that he doesn't normally make. He's been doing that this series, even though it's only been two games. He's been knocking down fadeaway mid-range jumpers in the post. I guess they were looking from a defensive mindset. I think Kerr was a little confused and flabbergasted by the Cousins injury going forward that I think you didn't really know what to do. And there was so much foul trouble. I think he was just scared to get anyone into foul trouble because these refs were calling these little ticky-tack fouls, and that's partly why there were two turnovers. That's partly what cost Kevin Durant two turnovers was this little one on Patrick Beverley, which swung the momentum completely. And I didn't agree with how many times did these players get to the line?
Oh, I remember the number was crazy. It was something. It was a big number too.
Hang on. I gotta pull
check
it
that
up.
One out. But KD also fouling out was also a big issue when it came to the end because you needed him at the end. He's great at those clutch shots. You know, with those dagger shots at the end, you didn't have him. Weren't able to spread out the floor. So with him fouling out, that also caused major
76 free throws. That type of thing throws off the tempo of the whole game, and the Clippers managed to overcome that while the Warriors couldn't because they were constantly getting foul calls, going to the line, and the Clippers seemed to take advantage of the momentum.
But as the back-to-back champions, should they be able to overcome that more than an 8 seed?
And that's what makes you worried. Mm-hmm. That's what makes you worried is that it just didn't seem like they understood that it was playoff basketball, which obviously they did. Because they're pro athletes.
Yeah.
They understand the gravity of the situation they're in. But at the same time, as your confidence starts to dwindle, everything starts to dwindle. So it's another tough one, but we'll continue to talk about it. The DeMarcus Cousins injury, what that means.
So
Kevon
sad.
Looney actually kind of makes that, alleviates that pain a little bit. But still, just for DeMarcus Cousins as a whole, this is it's terrible for him. So we'll continue to discuss the loss and how things will be going forward next. Stephen Langford and Anna Kagamakis here on the pregame show on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game, presented by Golden State Lumber. Here's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagamakis.
Pre-game show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee, meet, and greet with their product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. Just in case you're joining us, Anna and I are talking about Christian Yelich's big three home run night against the Cardinals.
Man, what a great night.
No, we're not talking about that.
No.
Nah,
I can't even joke. I can't even joke right now.
Yeah, we are talking about this Warriors tough 135-131 loss. By the way, you can feel free to hit the Chilton Auto Body text line up at 95795. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. Do you try to not let sports affect your life? Because I legit let this affect my mood last night. I couldn't talk to anyone after the game was over. Walking down the Bart Bridge, people were laughing. Some, you know, you could tell some people were going to their first game and they don't really care all that much. But I was stone cold silent after that game walking on the Bart Bridge home.
It does affect me at times. Last night, I was annoyed, pissed off. But I'm okay today because I do feel like this team will still be able to come back, go down to L.A. I think they're going to get business done early when it comes to going down to L.A. and getting this done. But say, when they had lost to the Cavaliers, oh, man, do not talk to me for a while. I was very upset when they lost to the Cavs.
That one was way worse.
Gravity of the situation, obviously.
Again, this is just one game, so we're not going to speculate whether, you know, this is a series, whether the series is over for the Warriors. None of that.
That's
what we define as an overreaction. But right now this is a time to kind of question the team a little bit. I don't think that's an overreaction at all.
No, and you're dissecting what's the issue. How do you go forward? How do you fix these issues? Because just like any good business, anything with family, you try to figure out, okay, what's the issue here? What's the problem? How do we move forward? And how do we get this world in the right way?
And the game got off to a relatively slow start because DeMarcus Cousins ended up going down after trying to get the steal, and he ended up in what got diagnosed, I think, as a strained quad, but we'll find out in an MRI later today, and Anna will get your timeline of that from Woj to whoever reported it, because there was a whole bunch of different stuff coming out after the game. But here's Steve Kerr talking about the injury.
There's a pretty significant quad injury, so we'll get an MRI tomorrow, but he's going to be out for I'll just say a while. I don't, because I think it's unclear right now how long he'll be out. But yeah, it's significant.
So it was relatively unclear at the time, but reports did surface after that. And so what were they, Anna?
Okay, so Woj actually came out saying there's a significant concern that DeMarcus Cousins has suffered a torn left quad, but there won't be complete certainty until he has an MRI today, Tuesday. League sources tell ESPN they hope it's just a strain. Woj, about just a couple hours ago, said from overnight Warriors fear Cousins has been lost for the season. Now, Greg Papa last night in the postgame show had said that, you know, if it was a grade one strain, that the Heat's hoping that they'd only be just a couple weeks to a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Grade two would be 4 to 6 weeks. And grade three would be season ending. And if that's the case, I am completely heartbroken for DeMarcus Cousins. Completely heartbroken with everything that he went through with the Achilles injury, coming back from it. The guy is in his second ever playoff game, and to go down 4 minutes into the game, and all he's wanted to do is to play in these playoffs, win a ring, and he's worked so hard to get to this point. It is completely heartbreaking.
It is, because it took 12 months to get back onto the court, and then he was on it for a few, you know, no longer than 3 months, I want to say. Mm-hmm. He's been in for that long, and he surprised a lot of people with how he was moving off of a torn Achilles for that big of a man. So seeing him come back, it was a great story. It was a great story. And he comes in and he's about to play his first playoff series. And then in the second game, he just goes down with what appeared to be, it didn't feel forced. That's what made me the most nervous, I think. It also made me less worried, because I was down there, or I was watching on the court, and you see him go down, and you're like, okay, that's not terrible. And then he's literally grabbing his hamstring, his quad, whatever you want to call it. And then you're like, oh, that's serious.
See, I'm more concerned because it was a non-contact. I'm more concerned just watching him fall, go down. It's just like, oh God, what just happened there?
That's kind of what alleviated the stress at first when you're watching the game. And then when he got off the court, everyone was checking their phone, checking Twitter, just mm-hmm. trying to find some sort of update. And then we found out that he wasn't going to be in for the rest of the game, that he's going to get an MRI today. That it wasn't relieving at all.
No, when Steph went down with his MCL sprain a few years back, mm-hmm. I just remember that same feeling of, oh my gosh, you know, obviously that was more with Steph Curry. You're thinking, okay, Steph, this is devastating to the team, because now at least with DeMarcus Cousins, he's been more of a luxury to this team than a necessity. But at the same time, when we found out the news about, I think, the grade two MCL,
mm-hmm.
You're saying, okay, you can come back from it. So I'm hoping that you can still, I'm trying to think positive right now that maybe it's the point that it's a grade one, grade two, we can still come back from this.
Well, you're definitely not playing him at all for the rest of the series, regardless of the outcome. So you could just count him out of the playoffs completely. There was one tweet that went out there saying that, you know, if this injury is relatively severe, this doesn't make the free agent market for him look too hot. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the chances of acquiring him back, yeah, I mean, it could be pretty likely next season due to this injury, but hopefully that's not the reason why they'd sign him back. And that's not what you want to think, but at the same time, it's a reality, is that it will be easier to sign him coming in this offseason with this injury. Hopefully he comes back.
I hope so too.
Yeah, because this is a career-altering injury, or it could be, depending on what the MRI comes back with.
Well, he's an intense player, so he's somebody who's incredibly competitive. So he's somebody that wants to be part of this playoff run, wants to be part of an NBA Finals, and be effective himself and to actually make plays out there himself. He doesn't just want to say, okay, I had a great season with this team, I'm going to get my win. He wants to earn that ring.
He called Bob Myers. Mm-hmm. He called Bob Myers and said, hey, sign me. I'm open. No one's trying to get me to sign a contract, and I want to win a championship. And now he was on his way to doing that. This just cut it all short, which is just, it's just awful. And listen to Klay Thompson after the game.
We can't throw it on the, I mean, we miss his low post dominance. We're going to miss that, of course. We're going to miss his screen setting and just his energy out there. Hoping for a speedy recovery, because we really need him if we want to make this run.
So Are you worried about the playoff run now that they don't have him? Or do you have faith in Kevon Looney and Andrew Bogut to carry the load?
I think it's going to be tougher. It's going to be a lot tougher, especially depending on who you face down the road. Because, you know, having him, you know, in the low post is just such a huge... He's been such a great part of this team. And we've seen that Kevon Looney has had, like, some games that he's been in and out. You know, he hasn't been as consistent. He can be really, really good. Like, he was really good last night, but there's some games he doesn't show up as well.
Well, he's been great these last two games, yeah. And the consistency for him is going to be key going forward. The only thing for DeMarcus is that before he came to this Warriors team, they were playing at a really, really high pace, yeah. Really quick. And then when Cousins came along, there was a lot of worry from people about saying, hey, he slows down the offense. We might even have to start him on the bench. So I guess just how they were playing up until December of this season, it wasn't, yeah, I mean, there was that loss on Christmas, which made you a little worried, yeah, about the whole Lakers thing. But for the most part, their offense, it does get rolling when you just got Kevon Looney in there instead of DeMarcus Cousins. And they aren't going to have to feel the need to feed him the ball, even though, you know, he was dominating against Zubats and trying to, at least, because Zubats again with another dud of a game. But it's just a huge blow.
But this is why you also went out to get Andrew Bogut, because you needed that insurance policy. And getting somebody like Andrew Bogut, at least you also have somebody who has a more of a defensive mind out there. So he, you know, DeMarcus, that was not his strength as much, where obviously the defense was more of the offensive strength. So bringing in somebody like Bogut, that's a different type of play, but at the same time might be good on the defensive side of the ball.
It's going to be a huge test for the bench. This is, yeah. I mean, it's going to be big. Andre Iguodala, he's going to have to, hopefully he stays healthy and continues to perform like he has, because he's a leader. Jerebko is going to have to play more minutes than he ever expected. He only played 3.5 last night, mm-hmm. but he's probably going to have to play more going forward if he wants to give these guys any rest. Here is Steph talking about DeMarcus Cousins.
You know, this is a big stage. You know, the playoffs, he's been looking forward to this. So I don't know the extent of the injury at this point, but, you know, hope he gets back sooner than later. But just man-to-man in terms of him, you know, again, what he's been through, it's tough for sure. There's no sugarcoating it at all. You hate seeing, you know, that opportunity, to, you know, this big stage taken away from him like that.
You hear Clay and Steph talking about it, and they're deflated. You can tell that they are deflated, and they're sad for him, you know?
Well, yeah, but he's such a good guy, and you can see, yeah, that, how this team has really gotten together. They were everybody was wondering whether or not there's going to be chemistry issues once DeMarcus Cousins joined this team. No, there hasn't. He's actually been a great part of this team, so I don't know. You could see why they're actually heartbroken. We're all heartbroken for him. The team's heartbroken for him. And we're just holding on to that little string of hope that maybe he'll be able to come back.
So do you think they're just going to have to start Looney then? You think going forward is going to be starting Looney? Or they could start with the death lineup. I mean, they could start with the Hamptons five going right ahead.
I think it's going to be situational. It depends on which team. I could see them actually starting off with a death lineup in the next one. Just to get things started rolling early and to get that confidence out there. But Kevon Looney has played well, so I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Steve Kerr decides to go with Looney.
This is next game is going to be what really marks how the Warriors approach this entire playoff series, because I guess they needed an eye-opener. It's too cliche to say that at this point, though, is to say, hey, now they're going to finally stick it to them because they have this edge after losing one of the biggest playoff losses in history, or the biggest playoff loss in history. But going forward, this is going to be, I hate to say it because it feels like it's always said, but statement game. It is going to be a statement game, even, yeah, though it's only game three going against the Clippers.
And this seems like a game that you have, like, Klay Thompson coming out with a classic Claymaker game coming out because he hasn't been playing as well lately. I mean, obviously on the defensive side of the ball, he's done well, but offensively, he's just been kind of nowhere to be seen. I never would have thought that the Warriors were going to go 1-1 here at Oracle and have to figure out how to get, you know, I thought it was going to be a 5-game series, but I thought they were going to get that loss in LA.
Right. And you didn't expect it to be in this sort of fashion. Yeah. You thought they were going to lay one down, a gentleman sweep, right, as they call it. Feel free to hit up the Chillin' All Body text line at 95795, or you can give us a call at 888-957-9570. We do have a caller right now. What's your name? Where are you calling from, man?
Hello?
Yo.
My name is Carlos. I'm calling from the East Bay.
What's going on?
No one's questioning Steve Kerr's third quarter lineup. I think that might have been a big thing. They might have thought they had the game in the bag and just, you know, like I said, they just might have thought they had the game in the bag and kind of took the, you know, the foot off the pedal and just got too comfortable, you know, and that's, I think, the same thing all year, just a little too much comfort.
Do you think that Kerr should have sat Steph after he got his fourth foul or kept him in the game?
Just keep him in the game. I mean, you don't have nothing to lose, you know. You can't take those fouls home. You know, just let him play out. And it's just the way the team has been all year. It's kind of, everybody kept saying, oh, they'll bring it right back. They'll bring it right back. It's just, I personally think it's a lot of to do with just the backups. I mean, all these teams got energy. Warriors are kind of playing like divas, you know, too laid back. These teams they're playing, they got all this energy going after all those balls, Warriors, you know. You saw, unfortunately, DeMarcus trying to do that, but then he gets hurt. But I just think it has to do a lot with the other teams. I mean, look, Lou Williams and Harrell, like they said, the two best players that have the most energy. You put those in with the second team, there goes the difference, you know. But to lose a 31-point lead, that's ridiculous.
All right, appreciate the call, Carlos.
I mean, that's kind of the cost of having, you know, five starting all-stars in the lineup, having a lot of stars that you're paying money to, Andre Iguodala with the big contract as well. You can't pay as much for quality bench players. They're quality, but they're not the high quality that you're seeing out there, and that's why they've had so many bench issues that they've had to work around.
What do you think the Warriors are going to try and do with Patrick Beverley? Because that's the one thing that concerned me. I talked about this earlier in the show, but the fact that they knew that this was coming in game one, they even knew this was coming, and KD seemed to actually match up with him a little bit because he was talking smack and they were winning in the end. But this game, they still knew it was coming, and somehow they didn't figure it out. Do you want to see KD maybe be a little more aggressive? Because when he was getting one-on-one matchups with Beverly last night, he was more passing the ball than trying to actually score. And late in the game, you could tell why they need him to actually be aggressive, because he's just going in and dunking all over the team.
I think KD does need to be more aggressive when it comes to going up against the Clippers in the next game, because it is a huge mismatch. And the fact that he is letting him get to his head, it's letting him get to him mentally, it is slowing this team down. And I think that it's going to cause for him to go after Steph and move and make some more switches. So I think it's going to be, I think that's going to come down to KD kind of taking over a little bit more.
I think they're going to have to find any way to, they got to take Durant off of him. They got to find some way to switch Curry onto Beverly, because they're clearly going to go after KD with him. And the Warriors need to try to find a way to alleviate that. And after two games, we've seen that Beverly has basically won the mental battle between the two. So this second one, or this third game coming up, I think they need to just try and find a way to get Steph on him as much as possible and kind of humble him a little bit, because Pat Beverly is feeling himself.
Yeah, he is. And right now, you got to also be careful still of, don't forget, Kevin Durant still has two techs right now tallied up, and you still got to be careful of getting those five more, to because seven makes a suspension. So you got to be careful not to go too hard after him, because you don't want it to get to KD's head as well, because you want to make sure that he is going to be able to play with you guys all the rest of the season.
From the 619 on the Chilton All Body text line, if they're going to play Beverly on KD, then KD needs to post up under the hoop and play like a power forward so he can just jump shot over Beverly. I agree 100%, and that's just something that he was not doing. This last month has been about as efficient as Kevin Durant has been in his career in terms of passing the ball and being efficient with his shots, not really taking any errant three-pointers and kind of playing iso ball. But at the same time, he's the best scorer in the world, at least one of them, top three. James Harden is right up there right now because he's been deadly. But if you're Kevin Durant and you're a scorer, you got to go in And you got to actually try and score now, because it's clear that after these past two games, Beverly is in your head, and you got to do something to try and get him out of it. And the only way to do that, I think, is by scoring the basketball and being aggressive.
Isn't it funny how everybody was giving KD a hard time, saying, you know, he's playing too much iso ball, he needs to play more team basketball, and he's been doing that. He's been playing more team basketball, and now we're asking him again, hey, we need you to take the ball more.
It's never good when you have more turnovers than actual shot attempts. From the 5-1-0, Warriors have no answers to slow down Lou Williams. You got to give that guy credit.
Seriously.
This dude's been he's been the catalyst for this offense for these past two games. And it's odd how him and Montrezl Harrell have been the aggressors from the bench when their starters really, and they're trying to more, I see kind of their strategy now. They're more or less, they're letting Gallinari take shots, because he's their highest paid player. He's like $20+ million man. But with these rookies, they're letting them just try and get open. And and the Warriors actually did a really good job, especially Clay, of following around Landry Shamet all around the floor, trying to stop him from getting a spot up three. And in the end, you saw it discombobulate, because Landry Shamet got wide open at the end and ended up draining the three to give them the lead. So it seems like they're putting in these starters, it's not like they're trying to even get them to score. It's almost as if they're just trying to discombobulate this defense overall.
Yeah, I can see that too. And it goes to show you how the Clippers bench has been a complete strength. And it all goes back to Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. Those two have been so good. And you're right. It's all about the matching and the matchups and everything, and they figured out what's worked. And Doc Rivers, you know, you got to give props to him for really figuring out how to get this team to work together and this chemistry that they have working right now, and how they are really becoming a thorn in the Warriors' side.
He also didn't lose $2,000.
I know. Some honest person.
So what happened? He was on the corner of a street out here in San Francisco, and then he dropped what, $2,000,
just drop it willy-nilly,
and drops it, or when he takes out his phone and then some guy on the corner says, hey, you dropped your cash. That was, I know we were looking at that and saying, ooh, these people of San Francisco, they're so nice and friendly, and we are, but at the same time, it's not normal for a dude to just drop $2,000 out of his pocket.
Yeah, Kareth Burke
taking out his phone.
Yeah, Kareth Burke said Doc Rivers said he pulled his phone out, dropped $2,000 on the sidewalk in San Francisco. He thanked the man who returned it to him in his closing remarks on the podium. Doc said he would have given the man free tickets if he hadn't left quickly after getting the money back. Would you? Okay, so if you found $2,000, you knew who it was coming from, would you give it back to him, obviously? If you knew, obviously, who it was coming from, you would. Would you turn it in to the police if you didn't know who it was?
If I didn't know who it was?
Yeah.
And it was, what, $2,000 just straight cash?
Yeah.
Nah.
No.
I mean, I'd like to say yes, but I want to be honest on here, and I don't think I would. I don't know if I'd give the $2,000 back. But if I saw it was Doc Rivers that dropped it, I'd be like, hey, Doc, what's up, Doc? Here's your $2,000.
What's up, Doc? Yeah. Little Bugs Bunny there?
Here's your $2,000. But if it's just a random person and I see $2,000 in the street, I might be picking it up.
Okay, is there anybody you wouldn't give it back to? Like, if you saw, like, say, I'm just throwing out. Like, James Harden dropped $2,000, and he's coming up against the Warriors. Like,
hell no.
Hell no,
I'm not giving that back to him. Patrick Beverly is enemy number one right now.
You know, just take it from his pocket.
Definitely not him. Lou Williams, I might give $2,000 back to.
He deserves it.
Because he deserves it. So, that's an interesting story that came out. He was actually kind of thankful for that.
I would be, too, if you think about it. $2,000, no matter what, is still a lot of money. So,
yeah.
No matter how much you're making. So, 95795, Chilton Auto Body text line. Is there anybody you would not give the money back to?
I mean, there's way more that I wouldn't than I would.
Yeah.
You know, that number is way more higher. From the 510, were you guys watching the game? They lost because of their defense and sloppy play.
Very sloppy.
It wasn't their offense. Have we really tried to blame it on their offense this show? I don't think we've tried to blame it on the Warriors' offense. I think we've just blamed it on the Warriors more or less being lazy, completely lazy on defense.
And turnovers, I mean, that happens when? When you're on offense. And then, obviously, that's where it comes down to. Turnovers, lazy, sloppy, all of the adjectives that you could think of. It is frustrating. I've said this, mind-numbing, just to watch it and see that happen, to let it slip right through your fingers. They should have gone to L.A. with a 2-0 lead in this series, but now they're not. Now they're tied. The series is tied 1-1, and you got to see what's going to happen next with the second round. Who are you going to be playing? Are you going to play a Rockets team who's dominating against Utah? Are they going to come in? What if the Rockets decide to sweep? You've just lost 3 days of rest right now. So that's going to be a big issue down the road.
So we got 2 more minutes left, and I'm going to try and just put a positive spin on this
a little bit.
I need it. But are we kind of lucky that this happened in game 2 of the first series of the playoffs? Like, if they're going to, they can't go down. They can't lose any worse than they just did. This is the worst playoff loss in, or playoff or whatever it is, the worst. They're down 31 points.
Yeah,
the,
you know, historic comeback.
Biggest comeback in sports in playoffs. So I had trouble wording that. And then I don't know. Are we lucky that this happened in a game that it's at least easy to come back from, I'd say, in terms of the series and where it's at? I mean, if you were, say, if you were already tied 1-1 and this happened and you're going into L.A. and you're down 2-1, I think this would have a much bigger implication on how the series is going to go. But right now, I think they might have got away with one in the second game.
I think you're right on that, but at the same time, I'm also thinking, looking at how this season has gone, I wouldn't be surprised if they have another bad loss like this somewhere down the road in the playoffs. I could see that happening as well, because they've had so many bad habits that they haven't been able to break this year. I'm not saying it's going to be another historic loss, but I could see another team clawing their way back and coming back to beat the Warriors, because they also get a little too comfortable and they get a little too complacent.
And you just hope that they can...
I gotta finish it.
I don't even want this team to like get off to a big lead. I don't want them getting to a double digit lead.
I'm not completely comfortable.
At the half, I want them down by single digits or up by single digits.
Let's have up. I still want them to be
just
up by single
digits. So they
digits.
Can actually get the energy to come back and play and have that hunger as the Clippers bench had, because even though they were down 31, the Clippers still had that drive to get the win.
They did. They did have it. And let's look. I'm not concerned. I don't think all of a sudden it's going to be Clippers in 5 like people were texting, but it's okay. They'll go to L.A. They're going to get it done.
John Dickinson coming up at 6:30 with Joe Lowe and Dibs. Greg Papa, 8:30. Baron Davis at 9:10. 2 seconds left, Anna. Anything else?
Go, Dibs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.